Hey, good morning, everyone. We are going to do a class today on stopping at enough when you don't want to, which is probably a hot, popular topic inside of this membership. I know that there are plenty of times that I don't want to stop eating when it tastes so good, when I've had a long day, all the time. So I know if I suffer from it, so do you. I'm sorry. I'm going to be coughing a lot. I think I'm trying to come down with a cold. I've been trying to come down with a cold for a few days. So we'll see what happens. Also, for all of you who, I'll make a couple announcements. Number one, if you've been following me for a long time, you know, I've been trying to get an ablation forever. This has been a 3-year project. I was in the middle of trying to get one during COVID, and about when I was ready to go to get it, we had, they stopped doing elective surgeries, and then I had to start the process over, and I have a weird hoo-ha to begin with, so they have to do extra tests and whatnot. But anyway, I think I'm doing it next Thursday. So I'm on my period. They said you have to have your period, and then you have like a few days in a window to get it. And just please, Lord, baby Jesus in the golden diaper, let this happen. So done with my periods. So if you don't know what an ablation is, I am sure someone in the chat will tell you. You can ask all the things. It is it's a magic burning of the uterus to get all that shit out so that you don't have to have a period anymore. All right. Y'all want to see the beautiful art? So we're going to have to rehang it a little bit because I was like, oh, no, I picked this out myself for my office. I was so excited. And I was just like, this is going to be fabulous. And then they hang it. You can't see shit. So let me show y'all. And I'll jack my camera up when I do it, but I'll have to get it fixed. But look who now lords over us on every coaching call. We have Dolly Parton, who is going to be here to inspire and motivate us all every time we coach and teach now. So I've got Dolly. Let me see if I can show y'all this too. I am so shitty about like showing y'all my new house, but I promise you, if we ever get everything in this house, which is like could be a long stretch of the imagination, I will officially take some pictures and do a walking tour and all the things. But if you don't know that supply chain is still janky when it comes to stuff for your house, we're missing stuff everywhere. So anyway, but let me just show you my, this is my light fixture in my office. Of all the things that got picked, I swear to God, my office is my favorite room, but that light fixture is probably the number one thing that everybody says is the best. So let me see if I can turn this around so y'all can see it. That is my light fixture. It is like an exploding gold, I don't know, snowflake. I don't know what you would call it, but it's really pretty. It does really good lighting. And the nice thing about it is I don't have to have like all those diva lights and everything in everywhere. It gives off really good light. So we've been very excited. So anyway, so I have an office that inspires me to talk about things like, how the fuck do you stop it enough when you don't want to? So let's just dig in. All right. First things first, there are going to be 4 things you need to know. Number one is we want to set an intention to pause while we're eating. So I just want y'all to realize that it is so normal to not want to stop eating at enough. Like, I think so many of us have shame around this, as if something's wrong with us. We're the only ones. We shouldn't be doing this. Like, we just dogpile so much shit on top of ourselves about it. And I'm like, it's normal to not want to stop. I mean, one of the things I teach you to lose weight is we're going to eat foods we like. If it tastes good, well, no shit, Sherlock. What else is your brain supposed to say? Like, I want you to normalize. It's okay that I don't want to stop it enough. Now, that doesn't mean you can't. It doesn't mean that you won't, But it's totally normal if your brain doesn't want to do it. So I think that's like the first thing we have to think about is like how much pressure, anxiety, shame, and guilt am I putting on myself? Because there are just times I don't want to stop it enough. Sometimes it's because it tastes good. Sometimes it's because I skipped a meal and I think I don't want to stop it enough. Sometimes I've had a really bad day. This is the first fucking break I've had all day long. Here I am eating. I'm finally able to relax. My brain thinks I should keep eating because I've not slowed down all day. That's just normal. There's literally nothing wrong with any of you. I don't care if you weigh 100 pounds or 10,000 pounds. It does not matter how much you weigh. Honey, you're not broken because this happens. You're just having thoughts about it. And I bet when we dig into all the thoughts about it, you can normalize every one of them. Every one of them will make sense as to why you're doing it. So we want to make sure that we don't judge ourselves simply because we don't want to stop it enough. Now, if you know this is your thing, like I have a hard time stopping enough. When I start eating, my brain just waterfalls all the thoughts about why I should keep going. One of the things that we want to do away from the meals is we definitely want to run those four ends. We want to make sure we notice the types of excuses that we use. We notice the types of things that we say to ourselves. You normalize them, which is just what I was talking about. You know, like the two most common ones, I think when it comes to not stopping it enough is it tastes really good. And so when we normalize it tastes really good, I want you to go down the two paths. The first path is probably it's normal because if you've ever done any restrictive dieting where food was villainized, like this is your good food list, this is your bad food list. If you had to take away things, if you like severely limited calories for weeks on end where you were really hungry a lot and you just had to say no and suffer, well, then it would be really normal that when something tastes good, your brain has a collective freak out. It's like, oh my God, we should keep eating. Because even if you're doing no BS, the brain may unintentionally be tying it to past diet traumas. And it may be thinking, this is like the last time. You better eat a lot of it because I know you. You're going to take it away from me again. Even if you tell me it's no BS way, I think you're going to take it away again. So it's very normal that our brain is like pinging at us. Please eat more. Please eat more. The other thing that happens, though, is it's that relaxation eating. This happens for people who are go, go, go all day. And usually this is what you'll say to me. I have a hard time stopping it enough when I eat my first meal. The rest of the day, I'm fine because I'm busy and I'm distracted and I'm all the things. But then when I eat that first meal, it's like I can't turn it off. And that's coming up because all day long, you did not give yourself a break. You're getting your first break. And your body is like, holy fuck, we need this. She's finally listening. And I know that bitch. The second she gets done eating, she gonna go get busy. She gonna try to do some dishes and wipe some asses and take care of some people or do some things. Or she's gonna go and worry and stew about what she should be doing. So your brain's gonna be like, we should keep eating. This is the only time we ever get a break. So I need you to know that for the normalizing part, that it would make sense that your brain would want to say, if you want to feel good, you're going to need to keep eating. Now, all that means in the normalizing part is, yeah, I could see why it would ask that. So my solution is I need to teach myself how to feel better and calmer in lots of situations. Maybe it's around my old diet rules. Maybe it's around like maybe I need more breaks during the day, or maybe I just need to tell myself, look, eating more right now is not the only path to relaxing. I promise I'll give myself a break after this meal, whatever that is. And then you want to neutralize. Like, this is all the work that we do away from it. So when you're finding your discovery worksheets, or like when you're overeating and stuff, because you're not able to stop it enough, I want you doing those discovery worksheets, because it's really important that away from that is where you're doing all the thinking about it. Because the only way to unwind it in the moment first is to get a lot of clarity around what's happening so that you can set yourself up better at the moment of impact. So we neutralize and we just say, the only thing that was really happening was I was actually eating nachos. And I had thoughts about how good they tasted. Or I had thoughts about I should keep eating so I could keep having a break. But that's really all that was happening. I don't need to make this mean I'm broken. I don't need to make this mean I'll never lose weight. I don't need to make this mean that nachos are bad. None of that stuff. All of that was just a whole host of thoughts. But this is all that's happening. That calms you down. So that anytime you're going to be thinking about stopping it enough, now we don't have anxiety around it. Now we just know we're just tackling a problem. It's normal for everyone. This is all that happens. I totally can handle it. Like, if you don't feel like you totally can handle it, you can say like, I'm just learning how to handle it. I'm learning how to handle this in a new way, a better, different way. Then you go to the next best thought or action. You just decide. So if you've been eating past enough, your next best thought is, I'm unlearning a lot of things around this. There's a version of me one day who can stop it enough. And I'm going to find all the little ways to figure out how to create her. Anything you want to think. So that's that pre-work that we do. Now, let's talk about things that we can do in the moment. So, and I just want to say this, that pre-work is so important. I listen to a lot of you. It's like you, like in the moment when you're eating, and like, let's say you've listened to my calls, okay? You're listening to calls, you're listening to NoBS, but you're never doing your 24-hour plan, never answering the questions. You don't do discovery worksheets. When I say do the four ends, you don't do those, but you're just like, ooh, I love listening to Corinne. All this makes so much sense. If you, in the moment, are able to take what I teach you and apply it, great. Don't ever do a worksheet. Don't spend time there. But here's how you know if you need to be doing the worksheets and you need to be doing the shit I say. If what I say makes sense and you're just like, emoji, emoji, I love it, I love it. I'm going to listen to all the calls. Ooh, this is great. But in the moment, you can't do it. If you keep trying in the moment and you can't do it, we need to go back and do some of this work. Sometimes I watch some of you do such a good job of listening. You do an amazing job of listening. But then you don't want to do the handwriting part of it. You don't want to do the looking at your thoughts part. You just kind of want to be like, I just want to hear something. And then magically my life changed. I think it's great if that ever happens. But I will tell you, my life has changed only 10% from hearing something and everything clicking into place. And I just suddenly was able to show up in a different way. 90% of all of my weight loss and 90% of every success I've ever had is because I've been sitting around like doing the four ends, writing about like, all right, let me write that future self letter. Let me rewrite my past. Let me think about what I'm thinking about today. It was that work that led to better results. So here are those four things that you need to know. So we're going to do pre-work if we're trying to do enough and it's not helping. Like if you're listening and doing stuff and you're noticing I'm still struggling with it, you got to do your pre-work. But this is what I want y'all to try in the moment. Number one, somebody asked, can you explain about rewriting your past? I think we have some information in the membership about that. One of the coaches will tell you about it. Y'all can link her to things that you know that work for that. We have stuff in the membership already on it. And I believe when we do module 4, I'll have to look. Hang on. Before I give you those four steps, let me just look this up. Otherwise, it's going to aggravate the shit out of me. We are releasing modules 3 and 4 of No BS. So you all have the old versions. And on April 1st, the brand new versions are going to be given to all of you. They are amazing. I'm going to tell all of you, the new Urges content, if you overeat, for fuck's sake, please watch them and do all the work in there. Y'all pay me to tell you what you should do to lose weight. And I'm going to tell you, you need to listen to module 3 and you need to make sure that you do the work. If you want to solve some urges, it is the best content I've ever written, I think, ever for No BS. I am so excited for y'all to get your hands in it. Lisa and Judith are posting things. There are worksheets on rewriting the past. There are calls that we have on rewriting the past, so you can feel free to go over there and look at it. Modules 3 and 4 are going to be released on April 1st. They may be released a little early, but for sure, we're all starting the entire month of April. We're doing something so special inside of No BS. We are going to be doing urges together. On my Wednesday calls, we're going to go 90 minutes instead of the typical hour. We're going to start at 8:30 a.m. Central Time so we can add 30 minutes. I'm watching the videos with you, and then I'm answering questions on those lessons for the day. And we're going to deep dive the entire month on it because there's nothing more important than urges, and there's nothing more important than future you. The reason why we spent the last 2 months dialing in doable hunger and enough is because we needed to figure out where are your urges still located, because this urges content's coming out. All right. Let me tell y'all. Well, it'd be awesome if I could find some of our stuff, but I can't find it. I was going to read off what our new stuff is, but I don't see it in here. Let's see. I don't know where we put things. It'd be great if I did. All right. I won't tell you what's going into it, but so it is. All right. Stopping at enough when you don't want to. The first thing you got to do is you got to set the intention to pause while you're eating. So if you've been struggling at stopping at enough, it's not enough to go into each meal and sit there and think, I hope I do better this time. I should be able to stop it enough because I've listened to Corinne's videos thousands of times. You've got to now do something different. So we are going to get a timer and you're going to set a timer for 10 minutes or about the halfway mark of when you eat. Okay. And then that thing's going to have to go off because if you've been having a trouble at stopping it enough, you literally have got to change the game. You have got to do an environmental cue that's different than anything that you've been doing. So for a lot of us, we just need to set, number one, a timer. If we are just so mindless when we start eating, this happens for me. A lot of times when I'm eating, if I need to work on stopping at enough, I either serve myself half of what I normally do so that I have to stop eating, then I can assess. And if I want more, I just go get more. Or I set a timer with what I think is going to be my meal. And I set a timer for what I think is the halfway mark of eating to go off. And I practice stopping eating. I put everything down and I listen for my, like, am I at enough? Because sometimes we're not at enough. But if you are, the next thing is you're listening for the sentences that are coming up. So it's not enough to just stop and then be like, all right, I guess I'm at enough. I'm going to stop eating. If you're struggling with stopping at enough, we have to understand the struggle. It's not enough to just think that you can command yourself to do something. I want you to imagine that you are like a 2.5-year-old who's in the middle of Target and they see candy and they want it. How often does it work if they really want the candy and you say, no, we're not having candy? What do? Pitch a bitch fit. It is crying time. they're flailed out in their, you know, cart, like going crazy as if you are peeling back the fingernails. It's not enough to just yell at yourself and say, like, time to stop eating because I can feel my enough cue. In the moment when your brain is offering up sentences about why it wants to keep eating, we can't just yell at it. We actually have to acknowledge what are the sentences. Because remember when I talked about pre-work? Well, the only way to know what you need to work on is you're going to have a few meals where you listen to the shit of what you say. Most of you are so, this is what's happening. I mean, I know I've reached my enough, or I think I've reached my enough, or I at least, like, I don't know what the fuck my body says, but my brain says this should be enough. Whatever's happening for you. So that happens. And then what y'all do is you don't listen for the, it tastes so good, or I don't want to waste the rest of this. I just don't want to stop because I've had a long day. This is such a special meal. You don't listen to that. Then you immediately go into, you should stop eating. This should be easier for you. If you keep eating this, you're going to gain weight. Oh my God. If you don't stop, you'll never lose all of your weight. We get so busy with the argument that we miss the plot. So we need to hear what those things are. So we are going to pick a meal that's hard to stop it enough. So pick a meal with your favorite foods. Pick a meal that just, like, maybe for you, it's lunch. Maybe for you, it's dinner, whatever that is. And then I want you to have a notepad next to yourself. You can have your planner, whatever you want. And I just want you to take some notes. Why do I want to keep eating? Why does my brain think it's such a good idea to eat past enough? We need to know those thoughts so that you can work on those with the four N's. So then the second thing you are going to do while you're doing this is you're going to, if you want to keep eating, I want you to narrate your sentences for the rest of the meal. I don't even want you necessarily to stop eating just yet. I want you to just get really comfortable and adjusted to knowing yourself at a loving, compassionate, and understanding way. No barking, no arguing. So narrating is going to be like this. I'm sitting here, I've set my timer, I'm listening, and I'm saying, like, yeah, this tastes good. That's one of those things that I think. Yeah, I don't want to waste this. That's another one of those things that I think. I can see why very often it feels so compelling or almost like I have to keep eating. When I know this, it helps me make sense of what's really going on. It's not actually that nachos taste so good. It's that when nachos taste good, I sit and think, I want to keep going. Then we're going to have our power sentence. So number one is you're going to set an intention to pause while you're eating so that number two, that if you want to keep eating or if you're going to keep eating, you can at least notice and narrate the sentences. And you're going to write those on your notepad, knowing that you're going to work on those later. If you're going to take the time to notice the thoughts and write them down, for fuck's sake, take the time to put them through the four N's. Please don't skip that part. Then the third thing that you're going to do in the moment, this is when you want to try to actually stop. You want to say, I knew I would think that. Think about this, how different it feels when you think, I knew I'd think this tastes so good, we should keep eating, versus this tastes so good, we should keep eating. That in itself just feels like a command. At least when you say, I knew I would think this, you feel a little intelligent. Feel a little smart, like you anticipated it. And then there's the awful thought of, this tastes so good, I want to keep eating. I shouldn't be thinking that way. Oh my God, when is this going to stop? If I keep thinking that way, I'll never stop eating. That always feels like anxiety. So there's just I knew I would think that, which feels intelligent, et cetera. There's just the command that's going to have like desire behind it. And then there's the command plus shame. Command plus anxiety. We want to stay away from that zone. We want to move over to, I knew I would think this. I always think this after a long day. I'm not surprised that I would think this at this moment. I understand why I think this. That lessens all the stress. Then the next step is you reward yourself for being willing to look at your thoughts, and you reward yourself for being honest with yourself. You say, I am so glad that I'm doing this work. This is the work that I've always needed to do, and not many people will sign up for it, but I do. This is the kind of stuff that'll change my life one day. We want to make sure that we are rewarding ourselves for doing the work. Otherwise, if you miss this part, you're never going to want to listen to your thoughts. I want you to think about this. We have to build a positive relationship with listening to our thoughts. We cannot have a ratchet one. Otherwise, why would we want to listen? If we're just going to shame ourselves, if we're just going to be like, oh, I got past that. If you're going to be exasperated, exhausted, and irritated by listening to your thoughts, you are never going to want to do it. You will never want to do it. But if you're rewarding yourself for doing it, and you acknowledge yourself for the bravery and the courage that it takes to do it, if you have compassion for yourself, like, yeah, these are some heavy thoughts sometimes. It's not easy looking at this stuff, but I love you for doing it. When we do that, we get to where we get to have some honest, caring discussions with ourselves. Now, somebody was asking, do I do all four of these at once? Yes. So here's how I want you to think about it. You're going to go to dinner. Let's say dinner's your hard meal, and you're going to eat dinner. You're going to set a timer to stop yourself at about the halfway mark so that you can just simply go to step two, which is, do I want to keep eating or not? This is not like you may have enough, but you may still want to keep eating. And that's what we're talking about today. So if you want to keep eating, I want you to sit there and I want you to like, I want to keep eating. The truth is, I do want to keep going. I don't want to stop it enough. It's because I'm thinking these things. That's why. Then I want you to say, and none of this surprises me. These are the things I've thought for a long time. I often think these things after a long day. And then reward yourself for being brave enough to do it. Now, sometimes, you know, you will stop eating simply because you're so compassionate with yourself. You've changed the game. You've taken the focus off it just tasting good, needing to relax or whatever, that when you have that, you're like, maybe I just won't finish. Maybe I'm okay. Sometimes you'll want to keep eating. Now, this is my lesson for those of you who want to keep eating. I want you to make an agreement with yourself. I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to tell myself in that moment, if I decide to keep eating past enough, after I've gotten to know my excuses and stuff, to say, I choose to keep eating, knowing that I've had enough. I will not beat myself up. I will not do guilt, and I will not do shame afterward. But I will do my discovery worksheet to understand it, because I deserve to understand what's truly happening for me so that I can reach my dreams. I also know I might not feel really good afterward. I may physically feel bloated. I may not enjoy my body after this, My brain might even want to beat me up over it. But I agree, I'll stop that. But I just want to know the reality of the situation. If I continue, if I choose to eat right now, here are my agreements. I want y'all to start having those kind of conversations with yourself instead of what we normally do, which is I beat the shit out of myself over it. Like, one, I'm like barely listening for the thoughts. I'm just always whining to myself. I just can't stop it enough. Something's wrong with me. Stop whining. It's not a good look on anyone. I ain't ever met anybody who's a wine bag and everybody's like, oh my God, if I could just spend more time with a whiny ass. Said no one ever. You don't even like you when you whine. So stop whining. Start just telling the God's honest truth. This is not me not ever being able to stop it enough. There are meals I choose to. There are meals I choose not to. But I'm going to tell myself the truth. In this moment, I won't stop it enough because I think it's the only way to relax. At least say that instead of, I'm just at the effect of it. I can't stop it enough. None of you, I'm going to tell you right now, if you're coming to No BS Excuse this weekend, I'm going to teach you all about I can't thinking and how you had to give that up like a bad habit. Like for all of you, I want you to think about when it comes to stopping it enough, what are all the bullshit things you're saying? Like, well, I can't because of this reason. Like, I can't because of all the times that I did overeat. I can't because I grew up with a mom who said, don't waste your food. That is a lie. You grew up with a mom. She may have taught you that. But today, your ass is 55. Your mama is not making you eat nothing. It ain't that you can't because your mama said you have to clean your plate. You know what it is today? I won't lose weight today because I want to do what my mama told me when I was a child. Say that instead. See how awesome it feels to keep eating then. But don't say I can't, because the moment you say I can't, you know what happens? That's somebody else's fault. That's something else's fault. And when it's somebody else's or something else's fault, you don't have control anymore. You just gave it away. And hell, half of us are giving our control away to people who are dead. Your mama's not doing it no more. You are doing it. So we have to start telling ourselves the truth. Like, I won't instead of I can't. Just try that. That is one of the things we're going to talk about at No BS Excuses Camp. It's one whole lesson around I can't versus I won't thinking. And how do you start using I won't thinking and how do you identify I can't thinking? It's very rare in our life, very rare, that we truly can't do something because of an external thing. Most of the time, it's because we won't do something. Like the other day, there was something happening and I kept saying, well, I can't do that because I've got these podcasts I have to do. I'm on these guest podcasts. And then I was like, no, that's not even the truth. You know what the truth is? I won't do this thing because I don't want to tell them no. Now that made me think about like, ooh, are these particular podcasts more important than this thing? Because right now I'm making not wanting to hurt someone's feelings more important than following through on something I need to do. So we have to tell the truth. And the truth will always help you lose weight faster than sitting around and just saying things like, I can't, it's hard for me. It just doesn't get us very far. All right, let's see what questions that we have. One thing I do want to, while I'm pulling up some questions that I want to tell everyone is, if you are, so I do once a year, this is not for everybody. So once a year, I do an advanced certification in weight loss. And an advanced certification is for people who are coaches. You might be a doctor. If you see people in weight loss and you want to be able to help them more, I do an advanced certification. If you want information about that, if you think it might help your career, it might help your coaching, maybe you are a weight loss coach, you do not have to be the Life Coach School certified. We are opening it up outside of the Life Coach School. So you can be a certified coach. You might be in the medical profession, whatever. Like, I just feel like what we teach in NoBS is so important that like other people in the profession of helping people with their weight and their health need these tools. They need to know how to teach someone about how their brain works, how diet trauma works and stuff. If you're interested, you can go to theweightlossuniversity.com. Applications are going to open April 1st. We will be starting the program in June, but it always has lots of people sign up for it. So we only do it once a year, but if you want information, you can go there to theweightlossuniversity.com. There is no step five. There was only four steps. Somebody was asking, what's step five? There was four steps. Didn't miss anything, Kathy. All right. The questions. How can I stop living in my past? I keep asking myself, why can I not lose weight and quit over drinking like I did 9 years ago? It's a terrible question to ask. Why do you care? What I promise you, Ruthie, whatever you were doing 9 years ago, it's not going to work today. You're a different human. You're older, you have different hormones, all the things. So many of us are like, why can't I be like that version? It's the most terrible question we ever ask ourselves. You don't need to be that version. You know why you don't need to be Ruthie of 9 years ago? Whatever she did back then to lose weight and quit drinking, she didn't do it in a way that allowed Ruthie of today to be able to do it. We don't want to be her. That version of us. She did a good job for that version of her, but she did a shit job for us. So why would we want to be her? Because guess what? You got another Ruthie in 9 years that needs you to learn this time how to do it differently so that the Ruthie in 9 years never has to do this again. So if you're going to ask a question, here's the question I would ask. What did Ruthie of 9 years ago not learn that this Ruthie will learn? That's the question I'd be asking. And it's not to say that that Ruthie was terrible. I'm not trying to make her evil. She was great. But she probably was just solving for Ruthie of today and not really thinking about Ruthie of lifetime, the different versions of Ruthie and how to set her up for success and how to deal with all of this. And the more energy that you stay in that, the worse you feel when you're sitting there comparing yourself to an ideal. Like, this is what we all do. We always have this past version of ourselves that for somehow her ass is always so much better. She did it better. She thought better. Her life was better. There's a concept in psychology. It's all about hindsight bias. When we look back, we always think past self had her shit together and had an amazing life. If we actually had to go back and look at their day to day, they had trials and tribulations too. They were still dealing with life. Hindsight bias is our brain's way of trying to go back to the past, and it tries to just remember the good stuff. And so what it does is it over amplifies everything. And then it makes us think that something's wrong now because we're not having this like perfect life. It was never perfect then. It's never going to be perfect now, and it will never be perfect in the future. The best that we can do now, though, is think about, what does this life need? And how do I give this life its needs so that my future versions of me that have problems, bad days, days they don't want to do things, they're unmotivated, all they want to do is eat food. They go on vacation. They get food pushed at the holidays. How do we set every one of those versions up for success? Because our brains are real tricky. They make the past version seem rosy-dozy, and they think the future self is just sitting on a pillow somewhere having the world's most perfect life. Then here we are in our shit lot. Every version of us has always had problems. And every version of us in the future, she's going to run into roadblocks and problems. We want to set her up for success. So let's just decide, what did Ruthie of the past not learn? What is it that she wasn't doing that Ruthie of today totally set us up for success? What are those things that we're going to need to do? And let's look at all of that. Let's see. How do I put the long day thoughts to rest? I keep stressing about the things I didn't get done. Once I hit enough, it isn't the food I really want. It is the distraction. So this is such an amazing question, Erica. One of the things that, like, the first thing we have to do is, instead of trying to shut those thoughts off, sometimes I think we think the goal is to shut, like, I have to quit thinking all that stuff. I need to shut all that stuff off. That's not really the goal. The goal is to be able to have those thoughts and they don't run the show. To be able to have those thoughts and we don't get caught up in thinking they have to go away. That we can have those thoughts and we can be at ease when they come up. That's really the goal. Because the biggest disservice I think the coaching world does to everyone, and this is where I'm very different than like traditional coaching, is our job is not to try to get ourselves to think positive things all the time. Our job is to be able to have any thought come through that brain of ours and handle it, whether it's great or it's terrible, but just to be able to handle it, like with grace, compassion. Sometimes it is just like I've just got some shitty ass thoughts that come through and I'm just like, it's not a big deal. Just keep going. You're not going to be excited today. That's okay. Like, I just don't feel good today. I'm on my period. I've been battling a little cold. I'm really tired. There's been a lot going on. Like, today's just one of those days I just don't feel great. And I literally thought about it this morning. And I have a house full of people. So if y'all don't know, half of No BS, it feels like, is in the other room waiting on me to finish so that we can do work together. And this morning, of course, I got people all over my house. I realized I didn't feel good. And I was like, I don't have to talk to anybody. That doesn't even make me rude. All I'm going to do is I'm going to stay in my own space. I'm going to give myself what I need, which is I'm going to let my brain think all kinds of shitty things, but I'm going to keep to myself for a little bit. I'm going to take care of me because I got a long day. And that, like, was I excited? No. But do I feel cared for? Yes. Did it improve my mood? Not much. But I also didn't tank my mood either by trying to people please or thinking I shouldn't feel this way or thinking I have to do this. I didn't jack my adrenaline up either. So a lot of thought work is about figuring out just how to be with yourself. And being with yourself means all parts of you. The part that has a long day and starts stressing out. Noticing, oh, I knew I would think these things every day when I have a long day. It's just what we talked about in the enough strategy. If you know that you come home and you stress out about your day after a long day, first thing you want to do is notice. This is when I'm probably going to do that behavior. And then when those stressful thoughts come in, they're probably the same fucking flavor of thoughts all the time. I don't have enough time. I couldn't get done what I wanted to today, whatever that is. It's reminding yourself, I knew I would think that. I always think these things after a long day. That automatically starts taking your stress levels down because you're not just thinking the thoughts. Now you're thinking about the thoughts. So there's the thoughts you have that stress you out. But if you can flip it to where it's like, I have these thoughts and now I'm just thinking about them. And my thoughts about this are, I knew I would be like this tonight, and that's okay. I'm going to go lay down, and I'm probably going to be amped up for a little bit. I'm going to lay down knowing I'm just amped up for a little bit, and that's okay. Let me listen to what I'm stressed out about. Get that notepad. Write a few things that you're stressed out about. You don't have to do anything with it. Just have it so that when you feel more relaxed, like maybe the next morning or maybe this weekend, then you do that work on them. You take a look at them. Then over time, when these things come up, you have thoughts you've already worked on. Your brain has other ways to think about it. The best thing that we can do in thought work, y'all, is don't force it. There are so many little ways to feel better about your thinking without having to do a ton of work, hours of journaling, loads of pivoting your thoughts in the moment. A lot of it is just chipping away little by little at some of the things you think. And the first line of defense for me is always, yeah, it's probably pretty normal. Like this morning, I literally told myself, whenever you have lots of people in your house, you're always a little jacked up. It would be normal. I'm a homebody who's used to three people living in the house at max. My mother's been staying with me for almost 2 weeks now. Now I've got company. I got more company coming in this weekend. It's like, I just cut myself some slack. Like there's nothing wrong with being a little stressed out right now. That feels better than like, oh my God, I'm so stressed. Blah, blah, blah. Why did I do this to myself? Like that feels like ass. It's like, hey, I have some stress. Now let me think stressfully about my stress. That's what we all do to ourselves. I notice I always talk shit to myself when I overeat. Sometimes it's because I'm bored or anxious. I plan my food. What else can I do? What else can I listen to? I don't think you need to listen to anything else other than yourself every day to make me stronger at it and better with stuff in my, I don't understand what you're saying. I get so upset at myself. The LM, we have to like stop working on the overeating for now. Work on the shaming. We got to take all that down. Like that's step one. So if you're caught up in the shaming cycle, I want you to think about this. Like one of the things, I'm going to take my glasses off. One of the things you said is you eat because you're bored or anxious. All right. The more you shame yourself, the more you drive your anxiety up and the more you give your body an excuse to want to eat. We got to unwind the anxiety around the shame. So this is super simple. I want you to, the next time you overeat, I want you to tell yourself, I'm really good at knowing it's usually when I'm bored. It's usually when I'm anxious, but here's what I'm never doing again. I'm going to never let my shamey thoughts run the show. If I hear them, I'm going to tell myself, I do not need to be ashamed about this. There's nothing wrong with me because I do it. It's something I'm working on. It's a behavior I don't want to do because it's hard to lose weight when you do it. But all this other stuff about, you know, like if you think you're bad, if you think you're broken or whatever it is, like I want you to think about how useless that is. That's not true. It's not helpful. It will never get you to your goal of not overeating. And just yelling at yourself, shaming yourself, and commanding yourself for all of you, you know, offering yourself a command every now and then will get you to do things. Shaming never will. We think it does, but usually what it does is it gets us to overcorrect and punish ourselves, and then we have to reward ourselves or give ourselves a break for it. I've just never seen the shame stuff work in any other way than that's the closest to working that it ever comes. And people confuse, well, I get right back on track when I like tell myself shitty things and I take away food and I do all this other stuff. They confuse that with working. And I was like, I don't think it's working. If you require a break or you require a rebound, and that's not working. So we got to stop shaming ourselves. Commanding, somebody asked, is like, what is commanding? Commanding is where like, if you are, let's say you're reaching enough and you're like, you have to stop eating right now. Like, I want you to think about, it's like, it's the drill sergeant voice in you. You better stop. You need to stop. For some people, it will work sometimes just because it's like, they don't mind that voice. And it's giving them a clear direction. Most of us, it triggers anxiety. It feels like we're yelling at ourselves. It feels punitive. So we have to watch for that voice. I like to tell myself, I'm very often very directive. We're not going to do this. This is not who you want to be. Like, you need to get back to work. You've been diddling. Let's just get back to work. I don't think like I'm a bad person because of it. It's like, I'm smart enough to know when I'm doing something that my future self's going to regret it. And I just tell myself, get back to work. This is not when we do this. It's kind of like, I want you to think about, there's a different, commanding is almost like yelling at yourself, whereas directing is kind of like a parent who's like, oh, no, get your hands off the stove. We're not doing that right now. Like it's clear. You know exactly what you're supposed to do. There's no fluff. There's no buff. But it's not shrill and it's not strict. So all of you, what you need to do is you need to listen to your voice that offers you your directions. Like, if I want you to listen for your inner voice of like, what does the voice sound like that tells me to stop eating? What does the voice sound like that tells me to make my 24-hour plan? What does the voice sound like that decides whether this food is good for me or not? And I want you to kind of describe it. Like, the voice is shrill. The voice is calm. The voice sounds like my mom. The voice is overbearing. It often feels like this. Get to know that voice. And if that voice is a butthole, we have to change the voice. Because then you'll find like, oh, it's no wonder I've not been listening. Like, a lot of people say like, but I tell myself to stop eating and stuff. And then when we dig into what the voice is such an asshole that it causes us to freeze. It's like we go back to being a small child being admonished. And as an adult, we have free will, so we just keep eating to not feel bad when we're creating the bad. So listen for the voice. Like somebody said, my inner voice is bitchy. Mine bullies me. That's the key to being able to stop. You've got to change the voice. So before you can change it, we got to identify it. So start listening to it. And then think about like, well, how do I want to talk to myself in these moments? What voice do I want to have in those moments? Then you have to practice it. You can't just want it. You just can't think about it. You actually have to, in the moment when your inner bully or inner bitch or whatever that voice does, when it comes out, if you want a different one, you have to actively engage. I knew I would talk to myself like this. I knew it would feel this way and I knew it would sound this way. And I've been writing and thinking about how I want to show up in these moments. Time to practice. My challenge, guys, says for this week, your mission, write a sentence that will remind you why you're stopping at enough this month, even when you don't want to, and plan to use it every time you have an urge to eat. I would love some guidance on this. Well, just all of you think about, tell me in the chat, why would you want to stop at enough? Like, and I want you to really think about this. For me, here's some of the reasons why I want to stop at enough. Number one, because I won't feel bloated later. Whenever I don't, especially at night, if I eat more than enough at night, I know me. I don't sleep as well. It takes me longer to fall asleep. I'm burping. I don't like how my pants feel. Like, just think about like all the different reasons why you would want to stop at enough. And then that's all you got to do. Don't make it too deep. Let's see. How do I handle praise for how nice I'm looking now when I know I still carry more weight than is healthy for me? Appreciative, Leticia? Like, just because you have, like, this is so interesting. Just because you haven't lost all the weight, that means you can't be proud of all the things you've done to get this far. You can't be appreciative that other people are noticing. I think the real question here, Leticia, is why do you think that you don't deserve praise for your actions? Because this is the thing. they notice the weight loss. They're not like, they may say, oh, you've lost weight and stuff. Here's how I want you to internalize it. This will be helpful for all of you because this helps with body image crap. They're not really praising me because I've lost weight. What they're really praising is my commitment to myself, how I've shown up for myself. That's the praise I'm getting right now. And it does not matter what they're saying. It doesn't matter if they're talking about your body. It does not matter because none of that would have happened had you not committed to yourself, shown up when it was hard, done, like decided who you're going to be. So why don't you flip that around? Let's see. She says, I began fudging on my eating principles after feeling a certain portion of my goal is met and also being scared I will get noticed more or negatively as I continue to lose weight. So Letitia, one of the things I would do for you is, or do, is I would take to ask coaches, when people praise me for my weight, I make it mean what? Because when you say you're scared that you're going to get noticed, why am I scared when people notice my weight? Sometimes there's two things that could be happening here. Sometimes it's literally just every time somebody notices you're losing weight, it's triggering you to think shit like, what if I can't keep it off? Then we just want to, like, that's easy work to do and ask coaches. Like, that's super simple. It's like, all right, then we just start thinking about, why can't I keep it off? You just have to give your, like, your brain evidence of what's, like, what's possible. Like, why it doesn't need to worry so much. Sometimes it could be, literally for some of you, a signal of trauma. There may have been some past trauma in your life where your body was unsafe. And when people are noticing your body, like if your body was ever violated in your past, it's very common that if you're losing weight and people start noticing, you make an association that being noticed could also be setting you up for harm and danger again. That you can work through that trauma about, like, this is why I'm safe today. You can do the four N's on it. It's also a good opportunity to take to some therapy and things like that. But that is also something else that comes up. All right, everyone. If for any reason you didn't get your question answered, there are two places you can go. You can go to Ask Coaches, and our coaches will help you with things. You can also take it to our Facebook community, and our community can help you with things. There's a lot of experience in there that can help you with all of this. I will see y'all on Sunday. We are going to be having Sunday coaching, so I'm looking forward to coaching some of you. Y'all have a good week, and I will talk to you soon. Bye, y'all.